number one in the New Testament there, and you'll find the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and then that third book, the third Gospel called the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number one. And we're going to take some time out of our Sunday morning. I'm not going to be preaching through the book of Acts in our morning service through the month of December. The Lord's led me to focus a little more on the Christmas story for December, and I want to do that and just kind of highlighting a little bit about our Savior. And obviously with Christmas season, and truly, as the saying goes, He is the reason for the season. And that is Jesus Christ. And we don't want to forget that. This world so easily can cause us to get caught up into buying and selling and to make a profit and what gift are you buying for so-and-so, and make it all about something that it's not what it's all about. And we got to be careful about that. We want to make it all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. So Luke chapter 1, and let's all stand together if you can, if you're able to, for the reading of God's Word, out of respect for us looking at the Scriptures together. And I'm going to read starting in verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. Follow along as I read. In verse 26, the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name." What's that name, church? Ready? Jesus. That's right. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." This is God's word, amen. Someone wrote a song many years ago. "There's a name above all others, wonderful to hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's the lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching high, higher far than the brightest star. Sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name." This morning, I'm just going to preach a message I've entitled, "What a Lovely Name." Today, we're going to talk about this person, this name. The name is Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, again, for the opportunity to get to hear your word. And Lord, how blessed we are to even have a copy of God's word in our language. I pray, Lord, that you would help everyone, Lord, all of us, Lord, to hear from you today, to focus on the Word of God, Lord, and the special to come to prepare our hearts. Pray that you would be magnified and glorified with it all. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
She traveled many miles, was going to have a child, and knew that life would never be the same. She laid that precious child in a manger all the while, crying out, "Jesus is his name." And everyone around began to say,
"Listen to the heartbeat, such a special heartbeat, sounds like that I've ever heard at any other time. The heartbeat, such a different heartbeat. Every beat just seems to be the hope of all mankind."
day. He cleansed lives of their sins, and the blind could see again. The lame could walk, the dumb could talk, and everyone would say,
listen to the heartbeat, such a special heartbeat. Sounds like none I've ever heard at any other time. Listen to the heartbeat, such a special heartbeat. Every beat just seems to be the hope of all mankind.
They led him up a hill, and the earth grew dark and still. As they nailed him to a rugged tree, the blood came streaming down to a thirsty ground. The whole world hushed at his final beat.
They came to the tomb and all their lives and ruin, and in their hearts crying bitter tears.
But everything had changed. The stone was rolled away. Someone said, what is that I hear? Listen to the heartbeat, says the special heartbeat. It's the one I've only heard just one other time. Listen to the heartbeat, says the special heartbeat. It's the one I've only heard just one other time. Listen to the heartbeat, it's that special heartbeat. Every beat just seems to be the hope of America. It's the hope of America. America.
Song there, great truth, amen. All right, grab your Bibles, go back to Luke chapter number 1 and hold your place there. And also turn now to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. So get your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, maybe somebody next to you does, and you kind of share and look at their Bible with them. But I want us to see from the Word of God here as we study and hear the message that God has for us. What a lovely name. That name we're talking about this morning is the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ. I remember when my wife and I knew she was expecting our very first child. And obviously, when you know you're going to have a kid, the first thought you got to have is, you know, what's the name, right? And what kind of a name we're going to give our first child. And we would name her Mackenzie. That was the first one, Mackenzie. The second one's Lindsay. And there's reasons behind why Mackenzie, why Lindsay. I know Lindsay, a friend of my wife's who's a missionary in Africa, and her name is Lindsay, so we named her after Lindsay there. And Mackenzie was just one of those more names, but we just thought, that's a cool name. We just liked the name. And so we said, let's make him Mackenzie. We met somebody on deputation, actually an evangelist. His daughter was Mackenzie, and this is before we even had any of our kids. We thought, we like the name Mackenzie. That's a really cool, just a real pretty name. And so we said, you know, if we ever have a girl, we want to name her Mackenzie. Now, I don't know how you got your name. Some people are named, you know, because it's a family name, right? Maybe you're named after a parent. Anybody have a name that's named from somebody in your family? A parent, a grandparent, or it's been passed down? I got my dad's middle name. I got the middle name that's been passed down. How many of y'all know, you know, I'm talking about middle names? Anybody have a middle name that's been passed down and in the family and things like that? And how many of y'all have maybe a story behind your name? I mean, there's kind of a little bit of a story how you got your name. Some people are named after famous people. I got a friend over at Shenandoah. He's on staff over there. His name is Jordan, and he's named after, guess who? Michael Jordan. He's named after Michael Jordan, and except he doesn't play basketball at all, so it's always kind of ironic. It's funny. And named Jordan, but, you know, crushed his dad's heart when he never made it to the NBA. Never picked up a basketball either, I guess. But anyway, I'm picking on him. He's not even here to be able to pick on. But different names, you know, when you get to choose a name for your child, it's fun. You know, it's kind of like, okay. And you're always careful, too, because, you know, you don't want them to get made fun of the rest of their life because of a name that you gave to them, right? Come on now. But different reasons. Sometimes people are named after Bible characters. You know, maybe there's a character in the Bible that you really like David. And so you have a son, you name your son David, and his name's named because of a character in the Bible, or Joseph, or whatever it may be. I don't know, maybe there's a person that you've been named after, perhaps, or just because, like my wife and I, Mackenzie, it just sounds cool. We just like that name. Maybe that's your name today. Maybe that's why you had your name, because your parents thought, we like that name. It just has a good ring to it. For 2021, the most popular name for girls was the name Olivia. Olivia took number one of 2021. For boys is the name Liam. Liam, baby Liam, took the first place for the name for baby boy in 2021. Now, Joseph and Mary didn't struggle with this. This was not a struggle between Joseph against Mary on what should we name this baby that God has given to us. Obviously, this was a baby that was from the Lord. The angel would share that. We saw that in our story, in our Bible reading. But look with me at Matthew chapter 1. You're there already, Matthew chapter 1. And this is now the angel coming to Joseph. This is Joseph now and the angel. Look at verse number 20. Chapter 1, verse 20 says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived of her in her is of the Holy Ghost," it's of God. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name," church? Jesus, "for he shall save his people from their sins." So Mary is told, you're going to call your boy Jesus, because that's the name you're going to give him. And Joseph is told, the boy that God has given to Mary, his name is Jesus. That's his name. Something special about that name, the name of Jesus. Songs have been written about that name, Jesus. There's a lot of history and books have been written about this particular person in history, this historical person, but not just any person. In fact, the name Jesus is the Hebrew name Joshua. In the Greek, it's Jesus, and it simply means Jehovah is salvation. At that time, there's a lot of different boys that had that name, Jesus, but this boy was not just another boy. This was not just another baby. This was not just another baby boy. No, this was God himself in the flesh. We know that. We see that in the scriptures. We know that Jesus here was not any ordinary boy. But with his name this morning, I want to preach a simple message this morning about the name of Jesus. His name speaks of his identity. When you say the name of Jesus, you know what you're talking about? You're talking about God. Look at me again in Luke chapter 1, verse number 32. So if you're in Matthew, go back to Luke, chapter number 1, and I want you to see some of these statements I'm going to pull out in our message this morning. Luke chapter 1, look at me at verse number 31. The Bible says in verse 31, again, this is the angel speaking to Mary, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name," church? Jesus. I almost said class, because I've been a teacher for many, many years. I said class, okay. Church, verse 32, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Can I say it this way? Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Understand, at our church here, we believe the Bible. We believe exactly what the Bible says. Our church stands upon the Word of God. What we believe, what I preach, is not my opinion. It's not my thoughts. It's going to be what the Bible says. Jesus is the Son of God. God in the flesh. He wasn't like any other baby. He came from God because He is God. That's who Jesus is. Isaiah chapter 7, the prophet Isaiah would prophesy this miracle hundreds of years prior. And he says, and he writes here, obviously the Lord and is spoken to him by God. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign, he says in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew chapter number 1, verse 23 explains to us what that name means. Emmanuel, the Bible says, which being interpreted is, say it with me, ready? God with us. His name is Emmanuel. You understand, Jesus is God. And when He was on the earth, it was God in the flesh. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word was made flesh. The eternal God, the great God, the God that spoke the world into existence, the great I Am, the God of the Old Testament, the God of all eternity, He came to us. I've likened it this way before. I've said religion is man's effort to reach out to God. It's man work, 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 do, to try to get to God. But Christianity is God reaching down to man. God has come to us. God has visited us. He came and He walked on this earth for 33 and a half years. And we know why He came. But yet, when you say the name of Jesus, you are saying the name of God. You are saying the name of God. In fact, when He died because the Jews did not like that. They did not accept Jesus for who He is. Right. He is God. Right. Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 33, the Jews answered Him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." You wonder why, humanly speaking, historically speaking, why did Jesus die? Because the Jews rejected Him. They called it blasphemy. He claimed to be God. In fact, Philip, not that one, in the Bible. Philip in the Scriptures, he said, "Show us the Father. Let us see the Father." And Jesus said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. You talk to Me, you've talked to the Father." Jesus was speaking of the God of everything. That's who Jesus is. We believe in the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We were made in the image of God, body, soul, spirit. That's us. We are made in the image of God. And so God, He came and He was with us. So when you say the name of Jesus today, I want to remind you, when you say His name, you're saying the name of God. It's amazing to me, unfortunately, how sad it is, really, of how many so-called Christian beliefs out there reject that truth. Mormons don't believe that. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. Cults don't believe that. Amazing to me how many false teachings of Jesus change who He claimed to be, what the Scriptures teach Him to be, and who He is. It is who He is. Jesus is God. And today, when we worship Jesus, we're not worshiping just a man. Although, when He came to earth, He was a man. But He was the God-man. His blood wasn't like our blood. His blood was God's blood, divine blood. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. His blood was what had to be shed to pay for our sins. May I point out to you again, verse 32. Yes, He's the Son of the Highest. He's the Son of God. By the way, the Muslims would deny that. They say God has no son. That's blasphemy to them. God has no son. Completely contrary to what they believe, where we say God has a son. His name is Jesus. Look at me, verse 32. Not only is Jesus called the Son of the Highest, but also notice me, that the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. This speaks of Jesus being the King of Kings. This was shared to Mary. Mary, you're going to have a boy. He is the Son of the Highest. Mary, this boy, is the King of Kings. Oh, He will be for sure one day when He comes back. But this was speaking back of David. This is going back, you're talking about 1,000 years prior to the birth of Jesus. 1,000 years prior, you can go back to 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, and you can see God promising David that he is going to establish a throne. A throne is simply a kingdom. A throne, okay, here we go. I need Adrian, right? There we go, right here. And this right here, right? This is pretty comfortable. This is good. I like this right here. And but you understand, a throne, that means there's a king. That means there's a kingdom. That means that there's a ruler. And this is speaking of Jesus being that ruler, being that king, and that his throne is a throne that never ends. Hey, empires come and go. Some students that have taken maybe world history and classes on cultures, and you've studied about the king of the empire, the Babylonian Empire, right? Or the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire. And if you take in history and world history, you study empires. You study different people have risen to the top and have conquered other people. Then eventually you find out that they kind of fizzle out. And that empire breaks down. Eventually, there's a new empire that kind of rises up. Let me tell you right now, God and his kingdom is a kingdom that's going to last forever. It is a kingdom that has no timeline, because his kingdom, it never ends. There's a king up in heaven who's on his throne. He ain't ever going to leave his throne. He's always ruling. He rules today. Although he's not physically here on earth, but Jesus is still in charge of everything happening in this world today. God is on his throne still today. You find that in Revelation. The Bible talks about God is on his throne. You find it there in the book of Psalms, in the prophetic Psalms, how he is on his throne. In fact, turn with me to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 9 with me in the Old Testament. Isaiah the prophet, I've already quoted him earlier in the message, but go to Isaiah real quick. I want you to see this. So I want to get your Bibles, turn them over to Isaiah chapter 9. I want you to see some amazing verses that really fit with the Christmas story, and I want you to see it. Can I tell you folks, hey, when you come to church, bring your Bible. Don't take me for my word. The Bible says, look at yourself. You look at what does the Bible say? Don't put your faith in this church. Put your faith in God's word. Trust God's word. Isaiah chapter 9. Look at me in verse number 6. All there, say amen. All right, here we go. Verse number 6. For unto us a child is born. There's the Christmas story right there, right? Christ and the God in the flesh, the Word became flesh. A child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Can I stop right there? The government shall be upon his shoulder. What government was in place at this time? The Roman Empire. Jesus was born, and he gave the Roman Empire a piggyback ride. It shall be, it's like me picking up my little Lindsay, picking up on my shoulder, hey, on my shoulder, you know, can I tell you right now, ain't no problem for me to pick up my little girl, put her on my shoulders. And for Jesus to take the Roman Empire, Caesar, and all the soldiers, and to pick them up and put them on his shoulder, ain't no problem. I love how Isaiah says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He was in charge the entire time he was here on earth and still is. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called, look at the name of Jesus, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Notice verse 7 now. Of the increase of his government, this is the government of Jesus Christ. This is the rule, this is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And peace there shall be. Next two words. Y'all see that? No end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Mary, you know who this boy is? This boy, this baby that you're holding, the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. This boy, this baby that you're holding, he is going to be the one to be on the throne of David. The promise that God gave David that his kingdom, his throne, will never end. How is that going to happen? Because obviously David's dead. And obviously even the temple and even the nation of Israel went away for a little bit. Obviously in the 40s it came back after World War II. Today there's a nation called the Nation of Israel. Even that fulfilled prophecy. And there's a nation today. There's a nation today called Israel. And yet someday there's going to be a king ruling from that location. And his name is Jesus. And there'll be the millennial kingdom. The Bible teaches about 1,000-year reign. Then I say to you today that that name Jesus, when you say Jesus, you're talking about the Son of God. You're talking about the King of Kings. But number three, you're talking about the one who is the fulfillment of prophecy. Back to Luke. Again, Luke chapter number 1 in your New Testament there. This is where our text is for the message. So I'm going back to Luke chapter 1 again. I want you to see with me, the Bible says he's the, verse 32 again, verse 32. He is the Son of the Highest, right? You see that, Son of the Highest. He is the, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. But get this, look at verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We went 1,000 years back to David. Now we're going 1,000 years back to Jacob. Jacob. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus, you know Jesus is all throughout the Bible. He's prophesied all throughout the scriptures. Go back to Genesis chapter 49. Go with me to Genesis chapter 49. I want you to see this now. This was Jacob on his deathbed speaking to his kids, and he's speaking here to Judah. Look at me at chapter number 49. I want to pull out a truth here. Chapter 49, and look at me, verse number 10. All right, Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until, what's that next word, church? Shiloh. Capital S, that speaks of a person. Shiloh. Come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Interesting word here, Shiloh. It speaks of peace. Shalom has some similarities between those two words in the Hebrew. Rest. Also, it speaks of he whose it is, meaning that which belongs to him. The throne is his. Shiloh will come. And the gathering speaks of the cleansing of the people that have called upon him to be his people. That there's going to come a time on earth that God and his people together, we will be with the Lord. And Shiloh will bring rest. And Shiloh will bring peace. And his rule and his kingdom will be without end. It will never stop. There will never be a threat to the throne of Jesus. Oh, you read the stories of different rulers, and how many times you read about an assassination. You read about a prime minister. You read about a president. You read about a ruler with power and ability to make decisions, and people bow down and follow and do what they say. All of a sudden, they were killed. They were assassinated. I tell you right now, that ain't going to happen with Jesus. That ain't going to happen with God. God is going to be on his throne forever and ever and ever, and there'll never be anybody else to replace him. Amen. Praise the Lord. That goes back to Genesis. Can I tell you right now, folks, if there's something I can encourage you about, we went 2,000 years ago in time to Jacob. We went 1,000 years ago to David. Now we're looking at Jesus. We're just 2,000 years later after Jesus Christ here today. And can I tell you right now, God has been in control the entire time. God knew what would happen in Genesis 2,000 years later. In the birth of Christ, God knew that today in 2021, you and me would need a Savior. Right. And that this world would need a Redeemer, a Savior. And so he came at the right time. He came to pay for the sins of the world, past and present. It was all laid on Jesus. And you can have forgiveness. You can have deliverance. You can have victory. You don't have to have your sin beat you up. You can have victory over your sin. You can win the victorious. You can live the victorious Christian life in this world. And last of all, I love this. Go back to Luke chapter 1 again, and we're done this morning. Luke chapter 1. He is the fulfillment of prophecy. He is the King of Kings. He is the Son of God. But I love this. Look at verse 32 again. Y'all there with me? Here we go, verse 32. Say these words with me, the first four words. Ready? He shall be great. He shall be great. Jesus is the greatest of all time. Put it in our modern day terms, he's the GOAT. All right, J-Lo, I think you beat me to it. And G-O-A-T, I heard her. She went, he's the GOAT. And he is. Jesus is the greatest. Now, some of y'all, how many of y'all know I'm talking about when I say the GOAT, okay? Greatest of all time, G-O-A-T. It's just a sports term. But that's who Jesus is. He is the greatest of all time. Jesus shall be great. He is the second Adam, the Bible talks about. The first man was a miracle because he was made in the image of God, and because God formed him from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, that man sinned. And because of sin, he brought death and condemnation upon all his descendants. That man brought shame, disgrace, and a curse upon all the world and upon all his offspring. But the second Adam, the second man, the God-man, he fixed everything the first Adam broke. When Jesus was born, God was made in the image of man. When Jesus was born, he was without sin. He lived without sin. In his death, he died for sin. The second Adam was a greater miracle than the first Adam because he caused light to shine out of darkness. He caused life to spring forth from death. He caused salvation to destroy condemnation. Jesus is great. Amen. He has saved my life. He has given me a purpose and a reason to live. He has given me my wife. He has given me my kids. He has been so good to me. He is great. I want you to just take a moment and realize how great he's been in your life. Every sin that would give you and me reason to be condemned to hell, Jesus paid for. One lie would cause a sinner to go to hell for all eternity. He paid for every sin. I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty good sinner. I sin a lot. I don't want to. I'm a saint. I'm to be a representative of Jesus Christ. I'm to shine the light of Christ. I'm to make good decisions. I'm to live by wisdom. I'm to live on my knees. I'm to live with through prayer. But I'll tell you right now, I got the flesh. I got the devil. I got the world. I get beat up sometimes. It's a struggle sometimes. And I say what I should not say. Like Paul said, this oh, wretched man that I am, right? Paul said that. What I should do, I don't do. What I should not do, that I do. That's what Paul said. And we all say, the greatest Christian. And he said, I'm a mess. I'm the chief of sinners. That was Paul. Folks, can we just realize, you know what, we're a mess this morning. Praise God that Jesus is great. He's a great Savior. He's a great friend. He's a great Redeemer. He's a great Restorer. He's a great companion to walk with in this life. Jesus is great. He wants to be magnified, and he wants to be great in your life. He wants to be big. John the Baptist said, he must increase, and I must decrease. Make Jesus big. This Christmas, make him great, because he is. To wrap up this message, as Isaiah put it, can I give you the names of him? He's Wonderful. He's Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. When you say the name of Jesus, you're saying the name of our hero. He's our hero. What a lovely name, this name of Jesus. Do you know him today? If you do, if you know him as your Savior, why don't you bow your head even right now and just talk to him right now and thank him that, you know what, you know who Jesus is. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. If you don't know who I'm talking about this morning, say, man, who's this guy named Jesus? Or you look at him as a historical figure. You look at him as a maybe he's not a political figure. That's how some people view Jesus. He was a political figure. He went about doing good. Yeah, he was a good guy, a good person. If you don't know him as God, and this morning, I want to challenge you to respond to the Word of God and accept Jesus for who he is. Jesus is God. Let's all stand together this morning. We'll have an invitation, a brief moment of invitation to allow you to respond.